This is the long-awaited report about the Dyke March. On Saturday, July 30th, the day before the big Vancouver Pride Parade, there was a Dyke March from McSpadden Park to Grandview Park in the neighborhood around Vancouver's Commercial Drive. To tell you the truth, I missed the march itself, having taken the morning to do a few domestic chores. But around 1 p.m., when my sweetie dropped in at the Britannia Library, I moseyed next door with my microphone to the Grandview Park event. When I arrived, performer Yvette Narlock was asking the crowd to help a mom find a lost 3-year-old wearing a SpongeBob SquarePants hat.
Looking for a boy named Orange, SpongeBob hat. He's gotta be here. Put your hand up if you can see him. Orange? What else is he wearing? Shorts? SpongeBob hat, man, that's gotta give it away. Hi, Sophie.
After that triumph, Yvette launched into an anti-Bush political number called Token Terrorist.
I hope this song don't get me killed. The song might put me on the list and won't be the next token terrorist, the vegetarian. And I'm pissed and I'm the environmentalist, humanitarian, environmentalist, a homo, homo sapien, a lesbian, comedian. I'm not Christian.
This song may be what prompted a local blogger to write, "Is there such a thing as a lesbian who doesn't hate capitalism?" She said she didn't find her type of people at the Dyke March. But looked to me like there was enough diversity that anybody could find their type of people. The first couple I talked to seemed like my type. Older. Experienced, sort of.
I've been doing this since 1972, and it just keeps on improving.
Did you come last year?
Oh yeah, I've come every year.
So you like this one better?
Better than what?
The best one yet?
Every year is the best one yet. Every year that we can get away with this is the best one yet.
This is my first one in Vancouver. I just came from California. I've been doing Dyke Marches and Gay Pride for about 12 years now.
Where in California?
San Francisco.
Oh, wow, they have big ones there, I bet.
Huge ones, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I've marched in Portland, too, because I'm originally from Portland, so.
What does it do for you?
Oh, it makes me feel good to see our community out here. To know we're not alone.
Really? So, are you moving to Canada now?
Yes. In the process.
Yeah, she's moving in with me. Isn't that a queer thing?
Yeah, it's getting to be more normal all the time, isn't it? Around here, anyway. Thanks a lot.
Then there's the other end of the Dyke March spectrum.
Oh my god, never been to the Dyke March before, but it's awesome! It's awesome! Woo! Dykes! Lesbians! Woohoo!
This woman has red hair. Yes, very red hair. So, are you a lesbian in your regular life, too?
Yes, I am.
Only on Wednesdays, yeah. Where are you from?
I'm actually from Prince George, but I've been living here for a couple years, and it's been so awesome. I missed last year's Dyke March, but I heard that was awesome, and so I had to come this year, and oh, it was so worth it.
What's your favorite stuff, your favorite part of the Dyke March?
The parade, the socializing, the music, everything. It's great.
Anything else you'd like to say about lesbian life in this area?
I really encourage you all, if you're lesbian or gay, even to like get involved, because seriously, you're missing out on a lot of fun.
Okie doke. Thank you very much.
Do you know?
What
Pardon?
You know who that is singing?
I have no idea.
I don't know. She's really good. She's very good. Yeah, yeah. Can I ask you about your outfit? You're dressed so differently than most people here.
Oh, I just like to get dressed up. I think it's important to express yourself every day.
So you've got a dance camp t-shirt, but what's this on the bottom?
It's called a crinoline.
Oh, it is a crinoline. Oh, when I was a girl, we used to wear those underneath our skirts, those crinolines. Yeah, yeah. And you have lipstick, too. Amazing.
I do. It is expression of myself, expression of how I feel. Lips are very sensual, and it's feeling very sensual tonight.
Good today. Yeah. Is it because of the march you feel sensual?
I'm surrounded by lovely ladies. How could I not?
Oh, that's really cool. Where are you from?
I'm from down the street.
Oh, all right. So it's very easy for you to come to this march. This neighborhood must be full of lesbians.
Yeah, it's pretty dyke central.
Yeah. So a good place to have a march. Oh, there's my honey. Yeah. Hi, honey.
I couldn't find you.
I know. I was just... Yeah, yeah. Oh, I forgot to put the hat back on. Thank you very much.
Have a wonderful day.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, great to see you. Hey.
Yeah. Good interviews.
I'm just recording a little thing. What do you think about the Dyke March?
Do you really want to know? Well, okay. I'm really glad that there's this many lesbians hanging together. But you can tell that women aren't used to identifying as feminists anymore, so some of it's a bit not as organized as it could have been. But I like it. Women are having a good time, and hopefully there's a chance we can imagine how to use this to mobilize ourselves into a movement again.
Wow. So what do you want to have next time?
Well, I like to have some women who actually know how to do safety so that we're not in so much danger when we're walking down the street. And I think we need some more entertainment on the march. And I'm imagining last year a group of us created a bunch of agitation. So I'm thinking next year we got to do it again just to liven things up a bit.
Agitation? What's that like?
Well, we made labrises and handed them out to lesbians and talked about what they are and tried to do some conscious raising about the history of lesbian organizing. And we also made, we had organizing days buttons, so we ended up having a whole crew of women who are organized to come and ready to talk to each other and just not hang out in their little circle. So, you know.
So it caught you by surprise this year, you weren't ready?
Well, I think I was ready. I just decided I didn't want to take responsibility for it. But, you know, it's always fun. I saw all the friends and women are having a good time, and it's nice having this many lesbians all in one place.
So, okay, so next year, call me. We'll do it.
Okay, we will.
Okay, thanks. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, so I'm going to get Ellen Woodsworth here. Okay. I'll see you. Okay. Yes.
This is a pleasure. It's pretty isolating to be an out lesbian and a city councilor anywhere in the world, but it's a pleasure to be an out lesbian in a whole park full of out dykes. Let's try it a few times. Dyke, come on. Dyke. Let's have that resonate around the world. These 11 women who brought us here together are an amazing group of women. I'd like to thank them very much for what they've done today. It started small last year. It's built on the work of many lesbians who come before us. Many women are seniors. I was at the Aging for Pride event. 411 Senior Center. It's incredible to feel safe and alive in a city as a dyke and to see how we're just growing and getting stronger and stronger. And we're going to flow in a stream in the Pride March on Sunday and let people know that we're out, we're proud, and they better get used to it because we're going to get better and better because we're going to be more and more organized. I'd just like to ask you to do one thing before you leave here. There's a wonderful disc called Vancouver iDyke March. It's a CD compilation of women performing here and some of the performers for last year, and the money goes to help us build towards the event next year. So I hope you'll join us, and I hope to see you all out at the Pride event, and I hope to see you all engaged in the elections which come this fall, the municipal elections this fall. Be there, be organized, and be proud as dykes. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen. And thanks for all the amazing work you do for our community. We're going to keep things moving right now. We got a great performer coming up now, all the way from Nelson, BC. our sound has been described. Yeah, big Nelson fans in the house. It's pretty there. Her music has been described as feminist and funny. I Googled her last night, and she had really cute hair in the picture, and I wasn't disappointed. She's got really cute hair in person, so let's bring her up. Please welcome all the way from Nelson, B.C., Kate Reed. Thanks so much. It is so great to be here. I love this fucking city. Thank you. Okay, the first song that I'm going to play is about my experience living in a small town in interior BC. Yeah, the song's called Small Town. The first time I went to the bar, I was afraid. There were animal heads stuck to the walls, and the bathroom signs were made of deer antlers. And mill workers drink beer on Friday nights, and sometimes the local principal does his Elvis gig for kids. And it's called the Hotel because he burned out a hotel, and I wanted to rename it the Hot Lesbian, but I didn't think it would go over real well. Confused with an animal that end up in my neighbor's deep freeze. Freezing. Hey, this is where I live, yeah, yeah. And it's one of those places you don't want to blink or else you'll miss it. And there's less than 700 people living in the town nearby, and it's called Midway, BC. This is Midway between here.
Well, that's a lovely dog. Is that a poodle?
Yeah, a miniature poodle.
Is this her first dike march?
We just came down after the dike march just to see what was happening.
So are you neighborhood folks?
We live out in Port Moody.
How's life for dikes in Port Moody?
Quiet.
Not quite as quiet as Midway, BC, eh?
Oh, probably not.
So is there anything, organizations or something like that going on there?
Out in Port Moody, you mean? Not that we're aware of. Yeah, we've got friends out there who are gay, and we get together with them. But nothing organized.
So the scene there is personal, where here you have an opportunity to be a little more political or something.
Yeah, but out in Coquitlam, there's that youth organization. I forget the name of it right now.
Youth Quest. Yeah.
Youth Quest, and that's great, I would imagine, for the young up-and-coming gay people. So.
And so if you're young and gay, don't wonder. Go to Coquitlam. Okay. Thanks so much, y'all. Hi. Here's a woman in a green shirt with a pink star. What does that mean?
It's just a fashion thing. I don't know.
What do you like about the Dyke March?
All the homos. All the hot girls. Supporting my own. Oh, there's another one, Laura.
Another one there. What, somebody else you know?
No, just another hot girl.
What is this for?
It's for the CJSF Campus Community Radio. We're having an event called Homophono, a whole day of queers on the radio.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah, that's really good.
Okay.
Yeah, I would definitely tune into that.
Hi. I see that you're wearing a sarong, and you also have your head shaved. And I thought that maybe you'd like to talk about the experience of having your head shaved. I've been very curious about that.
I would love to. I think that every woman should do it once. It's like, I find, I don't do it often. I'm kind of making a yearly practice of it around my birthday. In the summer, I shave my head because I can't deal with heat, but also just like, it takes you out of a whole set of expectations and ideas around femininity. And like, I can still dress up in my sarong and be girly and pretty and whatever, and but it's just, it just kind of frees you from this one kind of box. And like, you can just, I don't know, it just opens up so much. And I love like the reactions I get. I love it when people see me from behind and mistake me for a guy, and then I turn around and they're like, "Ugh," and I'm, you know, stuff like that. It's just like, but it's just good. I feel like I can walk taller, and like, there's something about like, you know, when people look at you and they kind of, even when you get weird looks and people like sneer at you or whatever, it's kind of like, at the same time, it's like, well, at least now I know that it's only because of my bald head, and that I don't care about. You know, like, I don't care that they don't like that, because I love it. And beyond that, you know, there's the aesthetic, but really I do it just for the feel of it, because it feels so cool.
She's rubbing her head with her hand. Is it kind of like velvet?
It's, well, it's kind of like, yeah, kind of velvety and soft, and especially if you don't do it all, if you shave your head all the time, then it gets coarse and blunt and kind of like Velcro. But when you only do it once or twice and then let it grow again and then leave a long time between it, it's just so soft. And everybody wants to pet you, and it's nice to have your head rubbed. And so really, that's the ulterior motive.
Wow, can I do it once real quick?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. So,
all right, I'll listen to it on the microphone.
Ooh, oh, it feels lovely. It does, it feels lovely. Thank you so much for that experience and for sharing. I have thought about shaving my head, but I never did it, and now, I don't know.
You know what? Do it. I would say do it. I honestly, every woman should do it once. And you know, it grows back faster than you think. And I see you have fairly short hair anyways, so it wouldn't take you long to get back to that. And it's just such a fun experience. The feel of the wind on it, or the rain on your head when it's really short, like, just so cool. Yeah.
So do you think I should do it before or after my mom comes to visit next week?
That's always a good question. Well, depends. Does she have a strong heart?
Well, no, actually, she's had some heart surgery. Maybe I'll wait.
Maybe after. My mother's only comment, she was overseas when I first did it, and I sent her pictures, and I got an email back with one line saying, "Wow, I never knew you had such a nicely shaped head." And that was all she said about it.
What a great mom. Yes, okay. Well, it's easy to see why you love women.
Well, you know, because they're great. Really, why wouldn't you?
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Of course, as soon as you turn off the mic, that's when you get the best conversation.
So you said that you thought you'd like to do a radio show, and it's called what?
Barbie Doesn't Have a Uterus. Because we were talking one day about the ideals that are put out there for younger girls, especially, and what you see as a young girl and what you're supposed to, like, you know, become, and like, kind of the Barbie doll symbolizes that. But like, Barbie isn't a real woman. She doesn't have a uterus. She's not, like, she doesn't live in the cycle that we live in, and she doesn't have, you know, like, that ideal doesn't, it's plastic, it's not real. And so we wanted to get together a bunch of women, younger women mostly, but older women, like anybody basically, and get contributions dealing with that idea of role models and body image and social role, and like, as a woman, just being strong and womanly rather than being the supermodel that men's fantasies have created for themselves, you know, and like, and just trying to get that kind of thing out there, and like, you know, provide more of a real ideal of what a woman can and should be.
Wow, here's some twins with blue hair. Tell me about your outfit.
Well, this is the Ring of Sexual Autonomy, and to get into the spirit of it, we're actually in the ring and inviting women to get in the ring of spirit of sexual autonomy. And it happens to have scratch and sniff pickle stickers just for entertainment value mostly, but we're recruiting for safety women for Take Back the Night, because there's such a link between having sexual autonomy and actually being able to walk the streets at night safe and not free of the threat of violence and the violence itself. So we're recruiting.
Tell me about the Ring of Sexual Autonomy and what sexual autonomy means for women.
This Ring of Sexual Autonomy is what
we think is a connection between this march, this Dyke March, and Take Back the Night. Because it's very difficult to have sexual autonomy when you're being raped.
I would say, okay, that's an understatement. Are there other more subtle aspects of sexual autonomy?
Ultimately, we want women to be able to decide and choose how they love and how they want to express their sexuality that promotes women's freedom.
So, are you getting any takers now?
It's hot and cold out there, Frida.
What do you mean it's hot and cold?
There's a lot of sexual liberalism and there's a lot of intellectual sloppiness, and that's some of what feminism is up against at these times.
What is sexual liberalism to you?
Like, it's like everybody's individual sexuality happens in a vacuum, and it has nothing to do with the rest of the way the world is set up. I think people treat it as being individual, like you can do whatever you want to whoever you want. And that's perfectly acceptable because it has nothing to do with how you lead your life professionally or socially or anything. So, like, I think of things like S&M and how the popularity of that and what that means for women, right?
What does S&M mean for women?
Well, I don't want to go there, but I do want to bring up Sheila Jeffries' article. I think it's The Politics of Orgasm. She was arguing that The politics of orgasm is if you have one, it therefore means that your behavior is positive. And that's the ultimate reference of whether you should proceed with your behavior. It's not good enough.
This is deep. This is really too deep to be discussing extensively in a situation where we have a harmonica behind us. But it's very interesting, and I hope to continue this discussion at a future time on the radio.
Sure, good luck.
Okay, thanks. So what's your dog's name?
Tank.
Is Tank a lesbian?
Tank is a boy, but he probably is a lesbian on the inside.
Just from association, eh? Well, he's a cutie. Did you have any trouble getting him across the border?
Nope. They didn't ask any questions, but he's a very skittish dog, so he's been a little scared of all of the noise and people, but he likes it so far. He's a proud dog.
Yeah. Well, he's gorgeous. He's a black dog with his tongue hanging out because it's a hot day, and he has a lovely flower lei around his neck, as does his mistress.
We got laid.
Thank you. All right, so here's someone who remembers when.
Oh, remembers when? Okay, so the concept that this is actually the second annual Dyke Fest is actually incorrect, and I love the energy of the two young women who have, put it together to recreate it, but it actually is a recreation, not an original creation, because back in the day, in the 90s, there was actually an entire lesbian week. It didn't actually happen around Pride. It happened earlier in the year, like before in spring, and it was a week long. We marched right all the way up Commercial Drive, which is the route that is more similar to the new route this year, because last year's route was really short. And there would be kiss-ins in Pacific Mall Center. There were panels. There was a whole week of programming about women who are into women. So, yeah, just a little piece of trivia that can be found at VPL. VPL has the entire collections of Angles newspapers, as well as all of the original newspaper, like I think it's Gate, the original, like in 69 when folks who were homophiles kind of got together. So all of those records are in VPL downtown, if anybody's interested in looking it up.
Wow, so where are our lesbian historians now? Yeah, let's write it.
At 30-something, I'm a lesbian historian. Damn. It's all good. Just good to share. You know, people need to know that there's some continuity, that, you know, other people have organized. And in tougher times, you know, other women have organized in tougher times. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
No worries.
Would you like to make some comments about the Dyke March for the radio? Could you say a few words about why you're here and what you like?
I'm from Seattle, and I'm visiting Vancouver for Pride, and yay, gay marriage.
Oh, okay. Are you getting married here?
I have had a commitment ceremony with my wife, and we do plan to eventually do it legally here.
Wow. Is your wife a Canadian?
No, she's not. But we just thought we'd do it just for the sake, in case we do somehow live here one day, which we'd like to.
Or maybe the United States will suddenly start to recognize gay marriage. You know, I mean, if they understood the tax benefits, they probably, for them, they would probably do it. Hear, hear to that.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, thanks and welcome.
Hey. Oh, that's my wife right over there.
Which, right there? Oh, okay, hi. So you two are informally married, but you're thinking about doing the whole thing here?
Yes, definitely. This place is fantastic, and we'd like it to be legal in Washington, but Canada's much cooler, so.
Hey, Washington's pretty cool for a U.S. state. What are the prospects there?
The only one, so.
Well, Maine's not bad. So,
I love Maine. New England's great.
So are you doing anything in Washington State to change the laws there? Are you working on any projects about it?
We're trying to get involved, but, you know, it's hard to find out information right now. There's a small organization in Seattle, but I don't think it's as active as we'd like it to be.
You're nodding. You're going to say something about
me? We participated in Move On PAC, an exhibit called Another 100 Artists, to just kind of help oust the conservative politics in our state. So, and we showcased our photography there.
You're photographers. Are you taking any pics of this?
We will be. We just haven't brought the cameras out yet. So,
okay. You wait until everybody gets drunk, then you're going to bring the cameras
out. There you go.
Drunk and naked, better. Drunk and naked on the beach. That's when our camera comes out, unfortunately. So.
Okay, well, let us know when you're exhibiting. You could exhibit it next year, eh?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. It says Radical Frosh on your back. What does that mean?
It's an alternative form of frosh from McGill University, sort of on the East Coast, and in American schools they have something called frosh. It's a big drunken festival, and Radical Frosh is an alternative left-wing version of frosh that engages students in discussions about social justice issues and acquaints them with social justice institutions in Montreal. And it's run by QPERC, the Public Interest Research Group at McGill University.
Wow. So that's what you chose to wear to the Dyke March. Are you radicalizing anybody here?
No, definitely not. My politics are at home today. Well, for the most part.
You said for the most part. Which part did you bring?
I haven't quite decided yet. It depends on what's said to me.
Are you from PG?
From where?
PG. Prince George?
No, I'm not from Prince George. I look like somebody you know in Prince George.
Hey, don't go anywhere. Stay here for a sec. Hey, Tori. Yeah.
Okay, so you're having a meeting here. That's what this is all about, encountering your friends. Happy Dyke Day!
Say that again one more time.
Happy Dyke Day! All right, so here's a nice couple at the Dyke March. Tell me a little bit about how you happen to be here today.
Well, I heard about it along with everything else that's happening over this week, and I'm new to Vancouver, and I just thought it'd be really great to come and see what's happening at the Dyke March. I understand it's just the second year. So that's exciting, and I was really pleased to see that there's so many young women here. I thought they might be mostly my age, and there's really a lot of young women and just such a variety, and it's just a great thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how about you?
She did such a great job, didn't she? She's much better than I am. Why did I come? I guess same thing. I hadn't really heard about it last year, and I think it's a nice idea. I live close. It's fun to sit and mingle with the crowd, you know. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's a nice atmosphere. I noticed you have a Legit button on.
Yeah.
I'm wearing this button, Love Has No Borders, and Legit is an organization that helps couples get together when they're one is Canadian and the other one wants to be. But are you an immigrant as well?
I had a partner that immigrated with the help of Legit. It was wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, they really did a great job with that information kit from Legit. We were able to figure out exactly what to do, and there were people that we could call to ask what to do. And so, you know, I didn't have to have a lawyer. I had a lawyer look at the application at the end, but it really worked out great. I was so happy. Yeah, we met the Legit people at a Pride Parade. They were having a booth quite a few years ago. Yeah. So where are you both from?
I'm a Canadian, but I moved here from California. I've been living in California for quite a while, so I just moved here earlier this year.
Welcome back. And you say you live right here.
I'm a transplanted Newfoundlander. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, there's quite a few transplanted Newfoundlanders among the lesbians, I think, in this town.
More of them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I don't run into, you know, it's so far, I don't run into as many Newfoundlanders as I do, for example, prairie people, and yeah.
I tell you what, I'm going to give you my card, and you can email me, and I'll send you the email of a woman from Newfoundland.
Okay.
Okay.
After I turned off the mic, it turned out that woman already knew the other woman from Newfoundland, and she knew my honey, too. Well, that's just about all I've got for you from the Dyke March of 2005, except a closing squib from a featured performer named Bitch. She stood out in the crowd for her crazy costume, but even more so for her unusual playing. Her new solo album is called Almost to the Water. I won't give you very much of my awful recording, but look her up.
Okay, now this one's going to be Bitch when she starts singing.
Crushed out on in New York for way too long. Show up.